Amen. I believe that was an excellent message. Did you hear it? No, I mean, did you hear it? You may have heard the audible sound, but did it get in? As pastor, I'm sure Kenneth learned this quickly. We study, we pray, and I believe that study and prayer is evident from what you've just heard. And then we stand before the congregation. They may be here, they may not. Those that are here may be here physically, but their mind may be on something else. There may be here some here that really didn't want to be here. But as a pastor, we stand and we wonder, this message that's heavy in our heart, is it going to get past the ears? Is it going to enter in? And more than anything, is it going to do any good? Because when fruit is born, that's when it's done some good. But if the fruit's not born, what good is it? You know? You've heard a wonderful message. I can't imagine a better setup for what is on my heart to finish out this morning. Did you hear it? Too late if you didn't. Well, I guess you could go listen to watch the recording. I've turned to one of the accounts of the parable of the sower. I pray that you don't interpret my intensity here as any kind of anger. I'm just trying to really emphasize the need here. I'm going to use Luke's account in Luke chapter 8. We have another account of the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. You have it in Mark chapter 4. We also have it here in Luke chapter 8. It's interesting how when you compare the three accounts of the same thing, same lesson that Jesus taught, the Lord uses different men, and so if you look at the three accounts of this passage, you'll find there's some little differences. There's some details here that's not over here. There's some things pointed out. But basically, you got the same lesson, but they just add more richness when you compare all three. All right? So I hope you found Luke chapter 8 by now. This is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. But when you study the parable, you find the emphasis that the parable gives us is not on the sower at all. And so it's not about the preacher. I'm so glad. I'm so relieved about that. It's not about me. Right? But it is about the message. And more importantly, it is about how it is received. From what we just heard, if there's a critical and a Pharisaical attitude, the focus is on themselves and is not going to be on the Word of God. Okay? This parable has much more. The focus of this parable is much more on the heart of the hearer than it is on anything else. The heart, you know, it speaks about whether it's heard. And with each one of them, when it concludes, the Lord says something along these lines, "Let he that hath ears..." Or he that hath ears, let him hear. Well, you know, I think everybody here's got two ears. I don't know of anybody here that doesn't have two ears. But that doesn't mean you're going to hear the message. The spiritual ears, what we're after. He that hath ears, if you've got the spiritual ear, he that is spiritual, as Brother Kenneth closed out, he that is spiritual, attend to this. He that is spiritual, listen to this. Without the Spirit, you're not going to understand it anyway. It's going to be the parable that Jesus' disciples said, why do you speak in parables? He said, because to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not. Do you have an ear to hear? I believe you do. All right, got to get on. The focus is on the heart of the hearer. Is it going to get in? Is it going to register? Is it going to be remembered? Is it going to be effectually worked by the Spirit? Is it going to bring forth fruit? Because here's the purpose for the glory of God. We as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to glorify God. When we help others, we want it to be that which would be help, that would be a blessing to them, but glory to the Father and no glory to ourselves. Let not the right hand know what the left hand doeth. All right? We want glory to God. And in this parable, I'm going to talk a lot about the parable. I hope I'll get to it. But in the parable, the way we're going to be able to glorify God is to receive the seed, bear fruit to his glory. All right? So if we don't receive the seed, if we don't understand the lesson, if we're not able to retain it, if for some reason we don't remember it, it's never going to bring forth fruit. All right? So why do you need to know that? Well, I've already explained it. Because that's where you come in. The preacher can study all week. The preacher can pray all week. The preacher can preach the whole hour. Then it's in your court. Then Piney Grove Church goes to work. Maybe. Right? Does it? Does it? Or when we say the last amen, is that the end of it? You know, especially on these days when we got conference right after church. I wonder sometimes with all the discussion that goes on in conference if anybody remembers anything that was preached. So, if we pay attention, if it gets in, if we remember it, we got a better chance of remembering something when it's over. You heard a good lesson this morning. I hope you'll remember it. I hope it sank in. I hope it found a lodging place in the heart. All right, let's read the parable real quick. I'm in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And by the way, we're going to have four different categories of people. And I believe God's people are included in all four. All right, so we got four categories of people. We've got the seed's going to be sown. The soils that it falls on represent the condition of the heart. Now, he gives us an interpretation later, so I'm going to read quickly through the parable itself, but he explains it later. All right? The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. No chance for fruit to be born. It didn't get in. The soil was hard as a rock, probably trodden the wayside where people walk back and forth, hard as a rock. You know, folks can harden their hearts. Okay. The second group. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Where does a plant get moisture from? I used to think you could pour water on top of the plant and you watered the plant. No, it has to come up through the roots if it's going to do it any good. Well, your roots can't go down in a rock. And so because it didn't get the moisture, it didn't have the root, it went down, it withered away in the heat. Okay? And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and it choked it. You've seen a garden that hasn't been kept, and the weeds grew up, and there were plants there, and maybe it bloomed, and maybe there was some fruit there, but it wasn't good fruit because all the strength of the soil had been taken by the weeds. And he's going to tell us what the weeds are. But no fruit. And Luke says no fruit to perfection. No, there was fruit, but it wasn't any good. Well, let's see. If our fruit is what glorifies God, and if our fruit's not any good, is there any glory to God? Mm. There's a lot in this, isn't there? I probably am just starting today. But fortunately, other fell on good ground. Oh, at least there's some here. There's some place here where the ground had been worked. Maybe the rocks had been taken out. Maybe there'd been some plowing. Maybe there'd been some nurturing. Maybe there'd been some working. You know, the Spirit of God works in us. Effectually working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In this ground, this fourth group, in this ground, there was some work that had already been done before the seed was sown. You know what that tells me? If you really want to get the benefit from whatever seed, whatever message might be sown when you come to church, there needs to be some work done before time. Oh my goodness, what a revelation. And what a great need. Because it's not, again, it's for the glory of God. How much glory to God is our life. He's done a lot for us. He's invested a lot for us. He invested all of his blood for us. And he takes care of us each day. He blesses us. He has mercy upon us. He forgives us of the daily offenses that we create. All of the things that God has done and is doing and will do. He's doing an awful lot. He's done an awful lot. He's invested an awful lot in us. Can we not give him some glory? It's our privilege. Sometimes we think of it as our duty, but it's our privilege. Okay? So, the last group, the other fell on good ground. And what happened on good ground? A heart that's in a good condition to receive the word of God. What happens on a good ground? It was received. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. There was a lot of fruit that was being borne by those seed that were received into a good ground. Why on earth would Jesus teach a parable like that? Surely they needed it then because that's the way they farmed, but we don't need that today, do we? Well, if we understand the principle, you realize we really do need this today. All churches need this. I'm not taking a shot here. I'm saying all churches need this. That we, if we're going to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to honor him with our life, if we're going to bring glory and honor to his matchless name, then his word needs to mean something to us. It needs to mean enough for us to read it and think about it and apply it to our lives so that that fruit can be born. And God calls men to preach the gospel because there's times when we explain something that we might not have understood, or quite frankly, some people don't bother to read during the week, and so at least they get some of the word of God on Sunday. True? Okay. But if we would read more of the word of God, we get more out of what we hear on Sunday. All right? Those are just faithful principles that we need to realize. All right, now, the disciples ask him what the parable meant, because they didn't understand it. And without spiritual teaching, you probably wouldn't have any idea what he's talking about either. Okay, but a long time ago, maybe you heard about that. Maybe you learned that. Maybe we've been building upon that all along. All right, here's what the parable means. In verse 12, now these by the wayside, they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now the salvation that he's talking about here is not eternal salvation. We're not talking about something that the devil can have any influence on. Amen? If the devil can snatch it away and keep you from being saved, he's more powerful than Jesus. Can't be. He is not. So what we're talking about is that salvation that we need on a day-to-day basis. Like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, to save yourself from this untoward generation. There's a lot of people in this world that are not following Jesus. There are a lot of people in this world that are not doing things that are according to his teaching. We don't want to go that way. We want to go according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, there were some that fell by the wayside, and for whatever reason, whether we're distracted, whether we're hard-hearted, you know, people can harden their heart. Brother Kenneth touched on that a little bit. Sometimes life events can harden our heart. Sometimes people can harden our heart. Whatever. We need to be open to the word of God. That's where our help is. Okay. But this first group of people are people that allowed themselves to be where the word of God was, but they didn't get it for whatever reason. And the devil's, he loves to be able to take away those things that would do us good. All right. The second group, they on the rock, are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. In other words, the first time they're challenged, they don't have a reason that they can give as to why they believe what they believe. And maybe they're among friends, or maybe they're among unbelievers, or maybe they're among those that don't see it the same way that you do. And they begin to challenge you. And rather than being able to stand and take your stand, they wither away. Other accounts of the passage talk about withering due to persecution or whatever the heat might be, whether it's being challenged about your faith, whether it's being challenged about what you believe, whether it's persecution, whatever, for some reason, because they're not deeply rooted in the Word of God, they wither away. No fruit. No fruit. And that which fell among thorns. Are they that when, here's he's going to tell us what the thorns are now. are they which when they've heard go forth and are choked. Remember we talked about the weeds taking away the nutrients out of the soil and so that the good plants don't get the good nutrition? All right, the weeds are choking the good plants with what? With the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. When someone's energy is being poured into those things to the extent that they're not so interested in the Word of God, then the Word of God is choked. It's not getting in. There's too much competition from other things in the heart. It's not going to do what it's intended to do. And so he says, they're choked with these things and bring no fruit to perfection. Whatever fruit might be there is not mature fruit. It's not sweet fruit. It's not fruit that glorifies God. Okay? Whatever the case might be, there's a variety of reasons. In all these three things that we've talked about, there's a variety of ways that the Word of God does not get into the heart where it needs to be. Okay? But then on the good ground. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. In an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. Which means it got in. You understand it. You remember it. You put it into practice. They keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. That's what is received. And they're able to be fruitful. And that's the whole point of all preaching. That's the whole point of the Word of God, is to teach us so that it can get into our heart, so that we can put it to practice and bear fruit to the glory of God. That's the whole point. And if it doesn't do that, then we've missed somewhere along the way, we've missed the benefit of the Word. And all of this word is good for us. Some of it is more readily received than others. But Brother Kenneth began talking about this morning. His message might be something that you might not enjoy as much as others, but I guarantee you it's just as needful. All right, so he says that they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, in these groups that we mentioned here, how many of them, that's a trick question, by the way, how many of them do you think could have been good ground? But how many of them bore any fruit to the glory of God? Only one. The last one. All right. Here's the real question. Where are you? You'll have to answer that. I can't. God looks on the heart. We look on the outward appearance. Where are you? How's your heart? Is it hard? Does the word just bounce off of it for whatever reason? Is there a stony ground where it's readily received, but then when any challenge or any persecution or any bad experience or any offense or any challenge bad experience, whatever, when it comes along, we wither away and we lose that word. Or is there just a lot going on in that heart? And you know, it could be the cares and pleasures and riches of the world. It can also be emotional things. It can be a lot of things. There are a lot of things that can overcharge the heart. And so that's why we need to guard our heart. Scripture, Proverbs tells us to guard your heart. Take care how we're conducting ourselves. Because there's a lot of opportunities for people to bear fruit to the glory of God that are being missed. I'm satisfied it could all be good ground. If there's some plowing and taking the stones out and preparation of the soil, it would receive the seed much better. If the cares of this world were set aside some and more attention being focused on the Word of God, it would be received better. More fruit would be born. Part of my prayer for Piney Grove Church is that we are fruit bearing to the glory of God. That's how we're known as the church, by the way. A tree is known by the fruit that it bears. Okay? So there's so much more that we could say about this. I get time's gone. When we think about the need to guard our heart, to prepare our heart, for the Spirit to work in our heart so that that word, the seed of the Word of God, I mean, it's good seed. Now, years ago, I had a good brother tell me, well, the life is in the seed, you know, and when you plant that seed, that's when the... And for the longest time, I struggled with that. Then I realized that's not so. The life of that seed may be in the seed, and that fruit that's born might be because of the kind of seed that was sown, but without the Spirit of God, it's not going to get in there anyway. And so the life has to be there, because this is from faith to faith. When we teach the Word of God, it's teaching, it's being taught by somebody with faith, it's being received with somebody with faith. But may we receive the word. May we guard our heart. May we prepare our heart. May our heart be in such a condition when we come to this place that we can receive the word, that it would grow forth, that it would spring forth, and it would bring much fruit, not to the preacher's glory. That's not even in the picture. But for the glory of God. That's why we're here. To worship and praise and adore the one that loved us and gave himself for us, the one who sent his son to save sinners, the Spirit that calls us, draws us together. Bless your hearts, till he comes again, may we rejoice in his word. May we receive it. You know, the brethren at the Berean brethren over in Acts, the book of Acts, the Berean brethren were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the word with a ready mind, which means it was ready to receive it. They received the word with a ready mind, and then they went home and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. May God help us to receive the word. If we don't receive the word, it doesn't matter what's preached. May God help us to receive the word and use it to give glory to God when we leave this place. That's when it has effect, isn't it? You know, someone once said, we enter those doors to worship, we depart to serve. That's right. That's right. We learn how to be disciples here. We go out and be a disciple. May God help us. We've heard a good message this morning. I hope it was received. I hope it'll be heeded. I hope it'll be put into practice to have much fruit born in the days ahead. May God bless you, is our prayer.